WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following. AFCON 2010 is only weeks away, June 21st through 23rd in Denver. It's the trade show where affiliates attend for free, but only if you register now. Register right now at AFFCON2010.com. AFCON 2010 will feature two epic keynotes featuring New York Times bestselling author and social media expert Joel Kahn and the man they call Shoe Money, Jeremy Shoemaker. AFCON 2010 is proud to feature 2 days of non-stop sessions, as well as a plethora of premium professional development sessions on Wednesday, June 23rd, from Search Engine Strategies, ClicksMarketing.com, SiteTuners.com, and more. AFCON 2010 will also feature 2 blockbuster nights of nighttime networking with WebmasterRadio.fm's annual affiliate badge and the PMG Superstar Affiliate Party. Register right now and join the thousands in the affiliate marketing community that will be at AFCON 2010, the trade show that's free for all affiliates, June 21st through 23rd in Denver. Register right now at AFFCON2010.com. That's AFFCON2010.com. The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Please welcome your CEO coach. WebmasterRadio.fm presents a show custom built to give you everything you need to build your business on the web. From funding to finances, setup to staffing, the CEO Coach will break down the art of business development from the ground up by one of the experts of online business growth, management, and development. Now, here to get you started is your CEO Coach, Jillian Musig.
Good morning, CEOs. It's a beautiful morning in Seattle, Washington today. We have the OMS conference going on at the W Hotel. We've just finished SMX Advanced Seattle, and there's all kinds of other activities out there. But today we're going to be talking about the process of being a CEO. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Jillian. How were the conferences last week?
Oh, very, very exciting. And Webmaster Radio has lots of clips and audio coverage from the roving reporter, which I played at the SMX Advanced conference. It was very exciting. So folks who want to see that should go to Webmaster Radio, and you can see it running live. And you can also look up SMX, and then you'll find the SMX Advanced interviews of folks who are on the ground. Lots of new stuff being announced, lots of companies announcing, you know, new launches and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. Now, this morning, what I'd really like to do is take a look at the process of being a CEO. As I walk around speaking to many CEOs of young companies at these conferences, they seem to be plagued by the same issues. The first one I think we'd like to talk about today, Nina, is time management. CEOs tend to be scattered in the way they're trying to manage so many things. It's not really their fault. It's just a new suit that you have to put on. The process of being a CEO of a young company involves a tremendous amount of requirements on your time. So everybody's demanding your attention. Tell me some of the things that you work with when you work with business owners or folks in senior management that help them to stay focused. And, of course, you were also in management in a larger organization. How did you stay focused on what needs to get done and not do business by being a gerbil?
Well, I think you said it really well. And I think the difference between being a manager in a larger company and running your own show is very often, you know, you're a one-man band at the beginning. I'm sure you remember that from your early days of being, you know, the one-man band who was your business before you had others working with you. And I think that's really the tough part, because you're wearing so many hats. You're playing so many roles. And half the time you can't even remember which role you're playing. You know, am I the CEO? Am I the operations manager? Oh, am I dealing with some legal issue? Am I dealing with customer complaints? Am I dealing with returns? Am I selling? Am I closing deals? You know, and that's really this, as you know well, the stuff of being a solo entrepreneur trying to grow a business. So how big a business are we really talking about, Jillian?
I'd say starting with the sole entrepreneur and then moving up to those first few employees. I think that's when the stuff really hits the fan, when you realize that you have working partners. You either have yourself and a partner and maybe one or two other folks working with you. It's that crazy startup time when it's no longer a single consultancy. Actually, I find that consultants do better in managing their own time. It's just them. So they're able to sit quietly in offices and get stuff done. When you add a few more people, that's when everybody wants your time. You are the CEO or the president, whatever. You need to answer all of these different questions. So here are the things I'm seeing. As we begin to formulate a company, as opposed to being a single entrepreneur, you find that you must share your goal for the end vision of your company with a number of people now, even if it's just a few, two or three people. And as it gets larger, of course, that exists and you know, multiplies over time. The second thing is you need to manage the day-to-day business of the work that you did before, ordering product and shipping if that's what you do, or providing service, providing quotes, making the rainfall, which is a sales job all unto its own, and so on. So before you get a sales team in place and managing that, you have to do all of those things still. And the final thing, I think, is that there are very few resources around as you do this. Generally, you're strapped for cash. If you are a well-funded, angel-invested or VC-invested company, those things, of course, can change. But still, the demands on your time to make final decisions is huge. So how do you help people decide, what do I do first thing in the morning? What are the specific time management skills that you recommend? I know one of the things I recommend is don't start your day with email. It'll just kill the morning. It's very, very difficult to do. And what I've managed to do myself then is to get up really early in the morning, manage those emails myself first in the morning, and then force myself, of course, to come into the office, and then I do not begin with those emails again. I accomplish one or two critical path items that don't involve email before I take time for that. What do you say to them?
I think that makes sense. I think you're right. The temptation is always to go to email first thing in the morning. I personally, so I'm a big believer in working out first thing in the morning. So I start my day with a workout. And I use that time to get myself focused, to get my energy focused. I don't spend a lot of time during the workout thinking about the day, but when I'm done, sometimes it's even in the shower, I'm thinking about what are the top five things that I absolutely have to get done today. And I get very specific, you know, what are the five things that I must accomplish today? And then I look at the whole day in perspective, you know, what are some of the ancillary tasks? What are some of the people, who are the people I have to call? What are the meetings I have to go to? What do I have to be prepared with? I mean, I'm just sort of looking at my day and I'm looking at it in the context of this week and this month. But I'm really zeroing in on my top five. And my goal every day is to get my top five done. If I get my top 10 done, great. But I don't always. And if I get my top five done, I feel like I've really, really done it. But I really take the time first thing before I look at email, before I return calls, to get focused on, you know, what are the most important things I need to do today for my business? Now, it could be there may be other things you have to do for yourself, for your family, you know, and as women, we always have that. But I'm talking about for your business. What are the top five things I have to get done for my business today?
That makes good sense. Tell me about exercising first thing in the morning. I know there's some folks who are morning exercisers and some folks who do it at the end of the day. But how much time do you physically set aside from, I guess, the moment you get up to go grab gym clothes to getting to a gym or doing it at home or whatever it is, until the point where you say, I'm back at work? I know people say, well, there's a 20-minute workout or a one-hour workout or something. What does that really take around it for you to accomplish the whole thing, travel time and everything?
For me, it's about an hour.
About an hour.
So the physical workout is
about 20 minutes?
No, it's close to an hour because I work out at home. I'm not a gym person. I don't want to be seen in
my sweaty clothes anywhere in public.
And, I got
it. I do pretty simple things. You know, I lift weights. I mean, everybody can have free weights at home. And I do have some professional equipment at home that I can use, just because I felt that it was a good investment and because I am so gun-shy about going to the gym. But I just feel I need that hour to get my body in shape. And, you know, I can't stress enough, whether you like to exercise in the morning or in the evening, I don't care. That's your deal. There's no one right time. It's what's right for you. I personally find that I am more focused and my metabolism is up and my endorphins are going and I feel good about life after I work out. And so that's why I work out first thing in the morning. And I would really recommend that if you're a morning workout person, use that time and use it for stress relief, because heavens knows you're going to need it for later in the day.
That makes good sense. I like that one. One of the things that I note is in terms of the scatteredness, that it's difficult to know what five things I need to do today unless I have longer-term goals as well. And perhaps that's the huge issue in the difference between being a consultant and a CEO. Knowing what you have to do today is completely based on what you want your business to look like 5 and 10 years down the road. Now, that seems kind of strange, but really, if you want a lifestyle business, what you do today is X. And if you want a business that will be the world's brand leader in something, you do Y. And if you want something in between, you do some hybrid therein. So,
well, tell us a little bit more. Tell us a little bit more about that. I think that's really important.
I will. We're going to take a commercial break here in about 60 seconds. So when we come back, I'm going to discuss a little bit about what it takes to build a company based on your longest term goals and how to put the dots in place so that you have them over years and then in months, then in weeks, and then in days. And what do I do today? And then what do I do first? So this is Jillian Music and Nina Price at CEO Coach. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. More on how to build your business on the web with the CEO Coach right after this.
Our clients have earned over $1 billion. Now it's your turn. With over 20,000 products to promote across a huge variety of niches, ClickBank provides countless ways for any affiliate to make money. You can promote any product immediately. No contracts required. Looking for recurring commissions? Upsell products? ClickBank's got them. And best of all, you can make up to 75% commissions. Ready to become the next ClickBank success story? Sign up now for free at ClickBank.com.
Anyway, I ask?
That's right, ma'am. Anyway, you ask.
Let me get this straight. If I wanted your CEO to deliver my check while juggling flaming machetes on the back of an Asian elephant, all I have to do is ask?
Correct. With in-demand affiliates, you can tell us exactly how you want your payouts, and we will deliver.
God, could you hold on for a second? Someone's at the door. Wow, you weren't kidding.
We are in demand. You can be too. Sign up today at the letter ndemandaffiliates.com.
Looking for an affiliate network that can package every solution an advertiser or publisher needs in one account? Your one-stop source for full-service solutions is AdMedia.com. AdMedia delivers an incredible lineup of specialized XML feeds for local, social, and search, plus the advertising arsenal of PPC, SEM, contextual, display, and more. AdMedia gives your campaign real visibility, from emailers to domain redirects. AdMedia tailors your all-in-one campaign to give your account a real advantage. AdMedia.com delivers cost-effective ad solutions with real conversions. Learn everything AdMedia can do for you today. Sign up at AdMedia.com. AdMedia, strong ROI made simple.
SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Catch us Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization channel only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
We're back with Jillian Musig, the CEO Coach, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Hi, and welcome back to CEO Coach. Nina, are you with me?
I am. You're a little echoey, but I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Well, let's hope we can clean that up pretty quick. And Nina, get on chat at Skype with me so we can chat along the way and talk about how to set the goals for being a CEO of a company that you're really looking to become. When I started my company with young children under my desk, I wanted a lifestyle business. I was a consultant for a long time. I took on some employees along the way, you know, sometimes with and sometimes without. Each time the goal was to earn some money now and to leave myself an open door to grow a larger business later. Naturally, I did not envision what SEO Moz would become from my traditional marketing company. So managing chaos is part of what you have to, you know, be comfortable with as a CEO. That's long-term chaos. That's easy. What you see is an opportunity, and you can move in the direction that way. So I went from print media and a little radio TV stuff to things like, instead of designing corporate identity work, we were now designing websites because the web showed up. And then there was web advertising to be done and so on. Those are opportunities, and you can take them on in your business and make strategic decisions about what products to sell. But that doesn't change the scope of your business, the size, or its focus, if you will. What does change is when you decide that what you want to build is something more than a family business or a lifestyle business. You want to build something like what SEO Moz has become. In truth, I would not have built it on my own. I needed a partner to do that. What I find is that the successful businesses in any field, in any industry, in every vertical, has a business partner and has a technologist. The business partner's role in the company in the startup days is to protect the technologist from the day-to-day requirements of running the business. This frees up the technologist to do things like discover, learn, create, and focus on productization of the basic ideas. When we put together SEO Moz, I always say it's easier if you raise your CEO first. In most instances, I would suspect that's not really true. Most family members don't work comfortably together, but those that do form a substantial number of private businesses. So I was able to work well with Rand. Rand was definitely the technologist. He had a vision for what might become of SEO Moz because he used the tools that we started to sell when they were very small. Neither one of us had a vision that SEO Moz would become as large as it did. It wasn't necessarily our initial goal. It was simply one of those things where you say, well, I hope people like what we have to offer. I hope we get a lot of customers. But to become the world's brand leader in something, well, that was a goal that was not initially there. So the question is, at what point along the stage of the business growth that you have, do you realize that you have that opportunity? And the answer is when you have sufficient groundswell of customers, when you have what I call raving fans, not just customers. In other words, people who are willing to evangelize for your company because evidently you've created something that is not just a product or a product that works really well, but you've created somehow a customer relationship. It's not just customer service or being nice to folks and so on. It's really a firm grounding in serving customers with all your heart and soul that creates that raving fan process. We can spend an entire other radio broadcast on how to create raving fans and what that means, and I hope we'll do that. But when but when you've created that and you sense that's there, then you say, I have the opportunity to build a really large, either national or international brand. At that point, we took on venture capital money because we saw the opportunity. So in general, you're going to need some kind of cash at that point to say, okay, yes, I'm going to become much, much bigger than a family-sized business or even a local or regional business. That's when you take on VC money. Until then, if you can avoid it at all costs, the answer is yes, avoid it. It's not that VCs are bad or VC money is bad or angels are bad. But given my druthers, I'd rather have VC money than angels. And that's, again, an entire other broadcast. We could talk about that. But the reason I would say don't take it unless you know what you're going to do with it is, one, it's going to be very hard to sell to any group of investors unless you're very clear about what you're going to do with the money. And number two, you will have a greater income if you own all of your business and you have tremendously amount more personal control in it. Again, you own all of your business. So lifestyles, locals, and regional businesses stay that way if you want instant income and a long-term life process. That's great. If you're looking for a much larger company, that's when you branch out. You look for investors. You look for folks to start managing major portions of your business, like the finance. That's when you look for a CFO or at least accountants and so on. When you look for folks to manage your marketing departments, folks to manage your engineering departments and so on. Suddenly, what you used to do all with one hat, even if you had staff, you managed at the bottom end, you no longer do. That's when you step away. Now the question would be, how do you create the strategic vision and make that decision? So a lot of that, I think, Nina, comes back to you now. That's, I think, the stuff that you help people with as you coach them to make decisions about what they want to do next in life. How do you help folks make a decision about whether they want a lifestyle consulting business or small business, or whether you want to have a major corporation and all of the time constraints, as well as other stressors, if you will, that would entail?
Well, a lot of the people I work with right now are small business people who are, many of them are just getting started. So maybe that's like some of the folks listening. I think some of the folks listening are a little beyond where some of my people are. And I think, so they're mostly focusing on lifestyle. I mean, they're lucky. A lot of people are asking me, should I get a VA, a virtual assistant? And very often, I'm out there finding the right partner for them so that they can step away from some of the really tactical things and spend more time selling. Because honestly, wouldn't you agree at the beginning, selling really needs to take up most of your time and until you get a really big deal that can sustain you for a while. But many people are just focused on getting those customers, getting that early revenue. And sometimes being able to spend more time doing the selling early on is really exactly what you need. Now, let's say you're beyond that stage. You've got a reasonably comfortable company built, and maybe you actually need an on-site assistant rather than a virtual assistant, or maybe you need a virtual assistant and an on-site assistant of some sort. Or maybe you need people to build your product, or maybe you need people to do customer support for your business. Well, I say always add people on virtually if you can, because
I would agree. Virtual assistants, virtual customer service folks, things like that, wonderful, because there's a huge wealth of folks who want to work out of their homes for whatever reason. They could be moms with new kids. They could be folks who are mobile, challenged and so on. They can be folks who, for whatever reason, need to be caring for another person at home. All of these folks want to work and can work virtually for you, but you've got to trust them. You have to trust them implicitly to be there when they should, to put in the hours they say they will, and those kinds of things. And, of course, there has to be a meeting of the souls as well as just this mind, process. So I think that's really a good point, Nina.
So a virtual assistant to manage your appointments, to manage your calendar, to do your billing, to do your customer service. And you may need someone to do your web work. You may not do all your own web work. You may. I mean, given a business that many of our CEOs here are in, maybe you do your own web work, but maybe it's time to hand it off to somebody else. Maybe you just can't be the webmaster anymore, much as though you'd like to be. And even
That's
though
right.
maybe you're
by the way,
everything.
There's somebody in our chat room, Nina. There's somebody in our chat room named Optic who tells us that his children, his daughters, are now doing his web work for him. So we're just joking in here that it's, kids, no use till they can kick in half the rent, right? So anyway, here's to Optic, whose daughters are doing his website. And Nina, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break here at Webmaster Radio.
Stay tuned. More on how to build your business on the web with the CEO Coach right after this. This is a test of the PRWeb content and news delivery system from PRWeb and PRWebAuthor.com. If this was a real release date, your story would reach more than 30,000 journalists, 250,000 RSS subscribers, and just over 30,000 unique websites. PRWeb can reach your target audience online, drive traffic to your website, achieve high rankings on search engines, and get your content on top news sites like Yahoo News. Editors are available 24/7 to help you optimize your content for maximum exposure to over 70 million people in the U.S. alone. If this were a real PRWeb release date, your website would have so much traffic, you'd be tempted to duck and cover. If you have an online marketing emergency, go to PRWebOffer.com for 25% off. PRWeb, the premier online release news and content distribution service.
Hi, this is Joel Tom. I want to take a moment to tell you about a revolutionary new theme for WordPress that's going to change the way you make websites. It's called the Socrates theme, and it is the number one WordPress product on ClickBank. You can see it in action right now at SocratesTheme.com. The Socrates theme has a ton of options for customizing your site, but what really makes it stand out is the ability to monetize your site instantly just by entering your ClickBank or AdSense IDs right inside the theme. That's right, there's no plugins needed. Go check it out now at SocratesTheme.com.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEOFox link building report?
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
The Joel Comm Show, Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Internet Marketing Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
We're back with Jillian Musig, the CEO Coach, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And welcome back to the show. This day we're talking about CEOs, focus, time management, and how that plays into determining what kind of a business you want, to what kind of things you're going to do today, over the next months, over the coming years, and how you manage the tremendous amount of requirements on your time. So what I find is that CEOs on a daily basis need to have a list of things they need to do. Nina says she creates her list kind of in the shower after a workout. I think that makes a good deal of sense. One of the best tips I ever heard was to create that list essentially the night before so that you know in the morning what it is you're going to do when you wake up. I find that that works for me sometimes, and sometimes life can just get in the way and you don't quite get your entire day formulated the night before. Calendars.
Isn't that the truth?
That's absolutely the truth. So calendars definitely help. I use the Google Calendar online. I use Google Business Gmail to send me mail all over the world. It really helps. I find it to be the best of the platforms that are the free online platforms. Everybody has their own, you know, style. And, of course, Microsoft came out with a new one here. So Brasco points out in the chat room here that he can't live without his Outlook, and I can understand that too. I do find Outlook is really, really good, and Marketing Hits uses Basecamp. I know a number of folks who do. And as I said, I like Gmail. It provides me with a place to store my documents, and it certainly supplies me with a place to do have my calendar at the ready. With Rand, for example, who is now the CEO of SEOmoz, has been since its inception. He has an extraordinarily busy schedule, and he has a calendar which fills up with 8 and 10 and 12 things every day. He puts down every phone call, every meeting, every standard thing that goes on, you know, weekly meetings that would happen in the office and so on, as well as his travel schedule, and it is available to the entire office. I think that's a hot tip. all of our schedules here at SEO Moz are available to all the other folks at SEO Moz. So we can track each other as we go around the world. We can see what we're up to. It helps us do things like tweet at SEOMoz.org. Jen Lopez does that for us here. She can tweet the things that we're up to as she sees us moving around the globe. And she knows when and where she can reach us. We know where we can reach each other in different time zones, things like that. But it also helps us, of course, to set group meetings. So calendar, that's one hot thing. Make sure it's available to you anywhere, anyhow. Organizing your thoughts the night before if possible, or first thing in the morning in a shower, after a workout, etc. Using workouts to clear your brain. I think that was brilliant, Nina, that clearing your brain, whether you do it in the morning or the afternoon, is a killer piece in being able to refocus on the rest of the day. So whether you take long walks, lift weights, go to gyms, do stuff at home, ride horses, whatever it is, actually scheduling that and making it sacred time will help you to focus on the balance of the day. And then there's that last piece, organizing who gets your attention first and why. Very often I found, of course, the email time sucks, but scheduling when you're going to do email will help if you do it, say, 3 or 4 times a day and stop at that, or deciding that you're going to do it on a regular basis, but also having your 5, you know, absolutely must-do items today. Nina, you were going to put something in there?
About the must-do items every day?
Well, no, I think I was interrupting you there for a moment. I thought you were trying to say something.
No, I wasn't. Okay. I was letting you were on a roll. But,
right.
You know, I agree with you about calendar. I live by my calendar, and I think you can't afford not to. Whether you have an assistant that manages your calendar or whether you manage your own, I think Jillian is absolutely right. You got to have a record of everything you've done every day. And sometimes that's beneficial as you're doing taxes, and sometimes that's beneficial as you're doing various other things you have to do for reporting throughout the year. So having the record of your calendar can not only keep you on track, but it can be a valuable record that you can turn to later on.
I think this is a topic we're going to return to today. We're finished with our time here at Webmaster Radio's CEO Coach, and I'm going to look forward to discussing how to manage the various demands on your time from your staff, from your vendors, and from your strategic partners as the days get filled up. So this is Jillian Music with her friend Nina Price at CEO Coach. Good show, folks.